So this is a picture of Norman Rockwell. I thought I always loved this because it's an interesting portrait, because it's a portrait of him painting a portrait of himself. And in order to paint that portrait, what he's doing is he's looking in a mirror. He's looking at himself in a mirror, and then he is painting himself there on that piece of canvas. And the interesting part about it is if you look at the image in the mirror, he's got glasses on and he's got a pipe, but the pipe's kind of dangling down. But you look at what he's painting, and it doesn't entirely match up to what he's seeing in the mirror. He's adjusting from there. He's painting something a little bit different. And so the sermon this morning is about examining ourselves. And so James chapter 1, verse 23 reads, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Okay? So the idea of beholding in a glass is looking in a mirror, looking at a reflection of self and trying to understand what that looks like. And it goes on to say, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So the question is, how often do we look into a mirror and we don't really pay attention to what we see? We walk away and we forget. We forget what we see. We forget who we are. And in this case, what James is trying to say is, sometimes we begin to view ourselves as being different than what we really are. And he's warning against that. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. So what is the purpose or reason for looking in a mirror? Why do you look in a mirror? Well, those of you that have hair do it to make sure that your hair looks good. I don't have to look in a mirror to do that, okay? I very seldom look in a mirror anymore. There's just not much to look at, so. But we do it to make sure that we look good, to make sure things are all put together, to make sure that we're presentable when we go out in public, is typically what we're doing, okay? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 tells us to examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Again, the purpose of this sermon is we are supposed to always be examining ourselves. We've got to make sure we're living a life that's going to be pleasing to God. And the thing is, outside of God, we're the only ones that know. You know, we can fool a lot of people, we can put on a good show. We know what kind of life we're living, and God knows. And the question is, do we examine ourselves enough to make sure we really know? Going back to the example of the mirror, we look into it to make sure we're prepared to present ourselves to the world. Do we prepare ourselves to present ourselves to God? The day of judgment is going to come when we're going to stand up and we're going to give an account of everything we've done. Are we going to be proud of the account we have to give? That's part of this examining ourselves. Making sure we're living a life that's truly going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Our examination needs to be honest, okay? This is supposed to be a little bit of humor, but you've got this little tabby cat looking in the mirror and sees a lion, okay? He thinks a lot higher of himself than what he really is. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." When we start examining ourselves, one of the hard things is doing an honest appraisal. Because we're great at making excuses. We're great at kind of overlooking some of our own flaws. We have to give an honest examination. We have to look at ourselves and say, truly, what are we? Are we living a life that's pleasing to God? If we're just a little tabby cat, then we've got to recognize that, and we've got to do something about it. We can't convince ourselves that we're something we're not, because we're going to deceive ourselves, and ultimately, again, we're going to give an answer. It's all going to come out. We can fool ourselves for the entirety of our lives, but we'll end up being disappointed when the day of judgment comes. So there's a song it's a Kenny Rogers song, that I thought really did a good job of explaining sometimes how we look at ourselves. This little boy's out doing what little boys do a lot of. He's got nobody else to play with, so he throws the ball up and he's going to hit it. So he throws the ball up and he misses. So it says strike one. So it goes on a little bit, talking about how good he is, what a great ball player he is, you know, kind of like Casey at the bat, right? So he throws it up again, swings, the ball hits the ground again, strike two. Goes on a little bit about, you know, yeah, he's not afraid, he's got it all together, he's good to go. He throws it up again, he swings, and the ball hits the ground. About that time, mom calls, says it's time to come in for dinner. So he picks up the ball, grins to himself, and says, man, I didn't know what a great pitcher I was. Okay? He took his failures and he spun them around and made himself a hero. And that's what we've got to be careful that we don't do. Because we can do that. We can convince ourselves of so many things. Every time I hear that song, it makes me smile because I can just see a little boy doing that, right? Okay? But the thing is, as we grow up, it's not just playing ball that we do it with. It's so many things in life. We don't see our own faults. We don't see ourselves for what we truly are. We put this kind of shine on it that's really not there. And we've got to be so very, very careful of that. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 is a story that, or a parable that we've probably heard a lot. It's about two men that stand up to pray. One of them is a Pharisee that's so full of himself about how great he is, okay? He says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. All he's doing is pounding his chest and pointing out how good he is. And he wants God to know how good he is, too. He wants everybody around him, and he wants God to know just how really good he is. But then you add the publican, it says, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus makes a very big point here. I tell you, this man, the publican, the one that recognized his fault, that recognized he was a sinner, went down to his house justified. The publican that pounded his chest and told everybody, including God, how great he was, not so much. He didn't go down justified because he didn't recognize how much he needed God. He thought he had it all figured out. And again, that's what we tend to do. We start to rely on self. We convince ourselves that we're good, that we've got it figured out. That's what this Pharisee did. The publican had it right. He recognized that there were things wrong in his life and he needed God. And that's the attitude that we need to have. When we look in the mirror, that's what we should recognize. So what do we need to examine about ourselves? Well, again, too often in life, we get caught up in the wrong things. When we start examining ourselves, we start looking at our status. What do other people think or say about us? What kind of a job do people look up to me? Are they wowed by what I am or how I carry myself or what I have? All becomes about status, right? Well, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 7, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? You know what? Every one of us in this room is a sinner. Every one of us in this room needs God's mercy, God's grace in order to save us. Everyone. There's not a one of us that's in better shape than the other. We need to remember that. We need to remember that it's not us being better than someone else. It's not how much money we have or how many things we've accumulated. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Got to remember, it's not about the things you have. When the day of judgment comes, God is not going to pull out and say, oh, you had a net worth of this much? Impressive. It's not what he's going to be worried about. He's going to talk about what kind of life did you live. That's what's going to matter. And it's not how we think we stack up against others. This is the one that gets so many people in so much trouble. Okay? We are living in a society right now where it's not about, are you doing a good job? It's just, I'm better than the other alternative. Well, you know, just because you're taller than a short person doesn't mean you're tall, right? Just because you're better than a bad person doesn't mean you're good. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice nowhere in there does it say we're going to be compared to anybody other than ourselves. What the person on the left, the person on the right does, doesn't matter. What have you done? What kind of life have you lived? What kind of soul do you have? Do you have a soul that's pleasing and acceptable to God, or don't you? That's what you're going to be judged on. It's not important what anybody else thinks. Not important what anybody else does. It's important about what you've done. Matthew 7 verses 1 and 2 talked about a lot. It says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Too often times we get confused here. It's not about the fact that we can't help somebody by recognizing there's a problem and helping them to correct it. The idea here is don't look at that person and say, well, I'm good because look how much better I am than them. Because whatever it is that you think you're so much better than them, you're going to be measured against that same thing. And odds are, you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as good as you think you are. We've got to be careful of that. Don't worry so much about how good or bad someone else is and using that to justify yourself. Look at yourself. Look in that mirror and identify what kind of person are you really. So what do we need to examine? Our character. What is character? I love this quote. Character is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Okay? How many people do you know that are like that? I know of a lot of people that will do the right thing if somebody's watching. If they're going to get credit for it. I know a lot of people that will do that. But how many people do you know that just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? That's character. Luke 11:39, the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. They put on the good show. When everybody was looking, they did the right thing. As soon as people stopped watching and they stopped getting credit for it, they did. How many people are like that today? How guilty are each and every one of us of doing those things? We need to make sure that our character is stellar. We do the right thing because it's the right thing. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 5. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's what we're looking to identify. What's in our hearts? Again, outward shows, lots of people do that. What is in your heart? It's hard to believe, but you know you can do the right thing for the wrong reason? You can do that. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. You can look good from the outside, but if the purpose and intent was wrong, as far as God's concerned, it doesn't count. You don't get credit for that. It's about what's in our heart. We need to make sure that our heart is right with God. Our intent is to serve God. Not to serve self, not to serve man, to serve God. How about our thoughts? I sent that to my son. I said, yep, this is what I was pretty sure most of your life was going on in your head. Nothing. Pretty sure there was just a big blank, okay? That's not really true though, right? We all have something going on in our heads, in our minds. Genesis 6:5 points out what man tends to do. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This goes back to the idea that you may not do those things on the outside, but if that's what you're thinking on the inside, God knows it. And that's not acceptable to him. That's not going to work. We've got to do more than just act out the part. Our thoughts need to be pure. Our intentions need to be pure. Philippians 4 and verse 8 lays it out for us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. Those are the things that need to be going through our heads. Those need to be the things that we're thinking about. Things that fall into those categories. Because those are the things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. We need to check out our motives. I can't even pronounce this person's name, but I love this quote. God will not ask you when and where you did service. He will ask, with what motive did you do it? What was the intention that prompted you? You may weigh the service and boast of its quantity, but God seeks quality. The quality of heart, the purity of mind, the holiness of motive. It's pretty deep if you think about that. There's an awful lot of truth in that. It's not going to be about how much did you do, it's going to be about how well did you do it. What was your intents and purposes? What were your motives? You know, I go back. There are some people who, if the camera is on them or if there's somebody watching, they'll do the right thing. But turn the camera off or somebody turn their back and that's not the same thing that'll happen. Because their motives aren't about doing the right thing or about serving God, it's about looking good. How about us? Why do we do what we do? Do we do it because we want to please God, or do we do it because we don't want somebody to think badly of us, or we don't want people to think that we're not a good person? I don't know. That's what we got to look in the mirror to figure out. That's what we've got to ask. 2 Timothy 3:2-4. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If our motive is to serve self, and we're only putting on this act in order to keep others from knowing what's truly going on in our lives, we've got a problem. Take a look at that list versus what we just talked about earlier. The things that are supposed to be in our hearts, the things that we're supposed to be focused on. Very different list. But you know what? Covetous, boasters, there's a lot of that goes on in the world. Does it go on in our lives? We each have to stop, examine ourselves, and try to understand that. Colossians 3:17 sums it up. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We need to examine our actions. In the songbook, number 512, there's a song that reminds us that we are the Bible that most of the world sees because they don't go to it themselves. It says, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and in word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Think about that for a moment. If we're supposed to be the example, the light to the world, but they look at us and they can't quite figure out what it is we're doing or why we're doing it, What kind of example is that? That's that last part there about type being crooked or blurred. What if they don't understand what is right and what isn't from our lives? What kind of example is that? Our actions aren't doing what they're intended to do. What if our hands are busy with other things than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His life would spurn? How can we hope to help Him and welcome His return? Are we living lives that would be pleasing to Him? Are we living lives that would be a good example to the world around us? Are we striving always to do that which is right? We've each got to look in the mirror and ask ourselves that question. We've got to examine ourselves and decide for ourselves. When we're examining ourselves, there's two basic questions we need to ask ourselves. First one is, what is our current spiritual situation? 1 John 5:11-12. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've not obeyed the gospel, then you've not become part of the Son. You've not taken advantage of what He's provided. And if you've not done that, you don't have life. It's pretty simple. Acts 2:37-38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? This is in response to the fact that Peter preached to them of what they had just done. You have just crucified the Son of God. You have just gone against God and against everything that God would have you to do. Their response was, what do we need to do? How do we fix this? And the answer was, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. If you've not done that, your current spiritual situation is you're lost. You're lost. The day of judgment comes, and you'll have nobody to stand up for you. You do this, you obey Christ, you do your best to serve Him, He's going to stand up and He's going to count you as one of His. And the grace that He's provided will be given. But you've got to ask yourself, where am I at? Second thing we've got to ask ourselves is, what direction are we heading? You know, just because you're a Christian, just because you've been baptized, doesn't mean that it's all good from now on. We've been told in the Bible that we need to grow spiritually. We need to be continually to get better. As we learn more, we do better. Are we? Or are we just kind of coasting along, or maybe we're even going in the wrong direction? You need to remember Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we're not doing it God's way, it's not going to end well. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. It's not ours. And the fact that there's so many people think there's so many different ways in should be a warning to us. That's not true. One way, God's way. And we need to make sure that's what we're doing. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the question we each got to ask ourselves. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to do it His way? Or are we going to serve self and try to do it our way? Frank Sinatra had a song, I Did It My Way. He seemed pretty proud of that. I don't think he'll be nearly so proud when he stands before God. I don't think he will. We've got to do it God's way. That's what's important. That's the sermon for this morning. The question is, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a person who's ready to stand before God and to give answer? Or do you see a person that needs to make some changes in their life? If you need to make those changes in your life, you need to do them today. You need to do them while you have that opportunity. And we would be most happy to help you in any way that we possibly could. So if we can assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.